This morning I'm preaching on faith. I'm continuing the good work that Pastor Ruth established last week with her sermon on faith in action, starting with Hebrews 11. The passage today continues a look at Hebrews. I will be reading selected verses from the 11th and the beginning of the 12th chapter. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, and stopped the mouth of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. And continuing now with chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God. Since we have so many visitors, I want to do a couple things I haven't done in a long time. One is I'd like to ask that Sandy's husband, Bruce, my wife, Debbie, my daughter, Hannah, stand so our visitors can see you all. Secondly, I want to do this. As I was preparing for the message, I remembered a story that I told you in my first year with you as pastor. I want to tell you this one again because it leads into what I wanted to say. Prior to coming to this church, I had the opportunity to be a district superintendent at the Methodist Church, and you know that. I've shared enough stories about that. But one day, early on in the superintendency, when I was still trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, I received a phone call about a problem in one of our churches. And it was a serious problem that would involve the bishop and cabinet and legal authorities, and it was significant. And I remember on that day, as I began to think about what my next steps needed to be, that I was compelled to begin with prayer and invite the Lord to be with me as I began that process. And in that need for prayer, I found myself out of my chair, out from behind the desk, and I made my way outside. And it was later in the day that the beautiful Arizona sunset was there, as we often experience, and I chose that setting to be in prayer. And I found myself in the parking lot of the church that housed the district office praying. And then I was startled in the midst of my prayer by the presence of somebody standing next to me. And there was a man with his head bowed. And I said, excuse me. And he simply said, what were you doing? And I said, well, I was here admiring the sunset. And he said, no, you weren't. You were praying. I said, yeah, that's true. I was praying. And I said, well, why are you here? He said, I saw you praying, and I decided to come out and help you. That was for me a faith story. For he was a person that, as Ruth shared in her sermon, that faith is the evidence and the conviction of what we believe. And so he and I shared a moment of faith because we both believed and understood that God was real and God was available for us. Faith is so important in the daily lives of us within the church. And yet we live in a world that is truly beginning to not only de-emphasize faith, but challenge it. David Kinnaman, who was from the Barna Research Group in California, recently wrote in his book entitled Good Faith, "The sense for many believers is that society is hostile to faith in general, and Christianity in particular." We experience in our world today hostility towards faith. And you might say there has always been hostility towards faith. There have always been those who don't believe and so forth. But I think we're experiencing some trends that we as Christians just need to be aware of. Rob Cooper writes about his reaction to meeting Richard Dawkins, a university professor who wrote this in a published article. "Forcing religion on your child is as bad as child abuse." A university professor saying to force religion on your child is a bad thing. Christopher Hitchens wrote this, "God is not great. How religion spoils everything." And so you may have encountered in school those who speak against faith. And you might say this is nothing new, whether for students or professors on college campuses. But there are those who push back against that because faith is vitally important. There is a university professor by the name of Brené Brown from the University of Houston, a well-known social scientist. And in her work, she's been somewhat alienated from the academic community because she writes things that have become popular. In fact, in her work on authenticity and trust and breaking through some of those patterns that were established in childhood, her work has been so noticed that she's been on Oprah Winfrey twice. But this is what she shared about faith. For though she is a person who is brash and direct and would use vocabulary that would not be acceptable in a Sunday school class, nevertheless, faith is a part of her story. And she has become so popular as a speaker at business conferences and leadership conferences in dealing with the work on trust and authenticity and so forth. But this is what she shared one time with one of her invitations. She received this. "We heard you speak at a conference last year. We can't wait to have you speak to our leaders. When we saw you, you talked about the importance of knowing your core values. We love that. However, you mentioned faith as one of your two guiding values. Given the business context, we'd appreciate you not mentioning faith. Courage was the other one of your values, and that's great. Can you stick to that one?" You're right, you answered that. Her answer was no. "You want me to speak? You're going to get my story." She also talked in her book about the presence of God, and the reason faith is important is because how God appears in those moments when we need God. And interestingly enough, she speaks about funerals. She wrote that in her research, she asked students to be honest about when they most were open to trust and experienced trust. And she said of the three things that were the leaders in that research, one of the three was this, that people experienced trust at funerals. And so she writes, funerals matter. And I share this in the context of the hostility towards faith or simply the walking away from faith. When I have learned that there are mortuaries that prepare funerals that are completely faithless. There are mortuaries who will give a theme to a funeral or memorial service related to golf or hobby or even having a barbecue at the graveside as their way to remember the person. John O'Donohue said this, that it's fascinating at memorial services, funerals, that often people come to those thinking about, well, the death of somebody forces me to think about hereafter or not, and it's forcing me to deal with a distant God. And what John O'Donohue says is that when people show up to a funeral, they're often surprised how they encounter that God is already there, even before they decide whether or not they give permission for there to be talk about God. We live in a world that may not understand faith, and yet for us it is so critical because we know what we have been taught. We know the resource that we have. We know how we rely on God in difficult times. Here in this church, we handle memorial services with the greatest of dignity. And when we think of that chapter from 1 Corinthians that speaks about love, it concludes with these words, "Meanwhile, faith, hope, and love remain. The greatest of these is love." And though faith is being challenged and the world is still open to hope and love, faith is such a critical part. Families are ministered to here during services. And I have spoken to Wally Henry, who heads up our reception group for the memorial services, and others who participate in that. And I say, why do you do such a good job? Our services include tablecloths and coffee and tea and pastries and cookies and so forth, very elegantly done, very beautifully done. And I ask our people, why do you do this? And one time I heard this response, well, we do this for these families because someday I know others will be doing this for my family. Here's my plug. Wally needs more helpers. We need more people to help. And so, please, Wally, raise your hand. Raise your hand. See, Wally, if that's something you feel called to do, because what we do here is really a ministry. Faith, hope, and love. Our scripture passage from the book of Hebrews teaches us to include those in our lives. Our scripture passage, you must realize that the author is teaching about faith. When you open up the book of Hebrews, there's no fluff in introduction about who wrote it, why, greetings to this and that. The book of Hebrews gets right to it. Faith, discipline, spiritual maturity. There's this prodding for people to get ready. It's like a crash course preparing for something. And as I have looked into this, I have read where theologians believe that the author of the book of Hebrews had the spirit of preparing people for a time of persecution. Maybe a time not so unlike ours, where people don't understand the importance of God and maybe even hostile to the idea of God. The author of the book of Hebrews was preparing, for he anticipated the coming Jewish wars, as hostilities and civil strife was happening between Jews and their oppressors, the mighty Romans. And indeed, that's what happened. And so it is discussed in this book that there are all kinds of people who, because of faith, God was able to work through their lives. And what the book of Hebrews clearly says is that these people were like us. They were ordinary people with insecurities, with flaws, with self-doubt, and they all had a past. But they, in those times where they were open to God, God used them. And God did great things through Abraham, Joshua, Sarah, Moses. They all had their issues. But in faith, in believing, in trusting, God was able to work through them. But in other portions of Hebrews, it talks about those who struggled with illness and other afflictions. And in the story, there are those who also have faith, but maybe not the miraculous stories. I think every week about our people who receive our ministry through the telephone on Sunday mornings, the Andrew ministry, where we pastors take turns preparing a message, and that goes out, a 3-minute message over the telephone where they pick up and get a little mini sermon, and where they are connected to the church. They are connected to the worshiping body. For there are those who seemingly can't do much, but they can pray. They can be people of faith, and as such, they can move mountains. Our story in the book of Hebrew includes Rahab. And one might say, why is Rahab there? Okay, we know about Abraham. We know about Moses and Joshua. We know about the faith of Sarah. But Rahab seems to be out of character in this list, because Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a resident of the city of Jericho that stood in defiance to God and God's people. So the city of Jericho had known about the Hebrew people 40 years earlier, when the word came about the Hebrew people leaving Egypt and the miraculous story there. So they knew of God. They knew of the Hebrew people. And it comes to a point where Hebrews and the city of Jericho, they're coming to a point of conflict. And Rahab, not the mayor, not the governor, not the military leader, but Rahab, who was considered the least, was one who believed. And when Joshua sent his spies to see what was happening there in the city, it was Rahab who helped them, hid them, took them to the roof where they would be safe, all at risk, for she and her family could have been put to death. She helped them, and she said this, I'm helping you. Now promise me the protection of my family. She believed, and she received the protection. Hebrews encourages us to stay firm in our faith. Hebrew encourages us that when others say the Bible's outdated, don't read it, to stand fast. When some say, nobody prays anymore, what's that all about? That doesn't do anything. To be steadfast in prayer. When people say, oh, Sunday is a day for sleeping in and watching football, that you get up and you go to church. That when people say, well, whatever happens, happens, we say, no, we are a people of prayer. And we believe that God will be with us. We need to be people who are steadfast. I want to tell you about a person by the name of William Carey, who lived a long time ago. William Carey was one who was a teacher and who found languages came easy. As a teacher, he self-taught himself Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. Anybody take Latin? Anybody take Greek? Anybody take Hebrew? Any one of those is hard enough. He self-taught Greek, Hebrew, Latin, and his biggest dream, his calling, was to be a missionary to India. He eventually went to India. And it was a very difficult time. The people there were not receptive to his sharing of his faith. There was great resistance for a long time. His son and wife both had to deal with severe illnesses. But in the midst of that, what he said, as Hebrew says in chapter 6, don't be lazy about things of faith. Don't be lazy about reading the Bible, prayer, study, participation, things in the church. Don't be lazy, but prod on, prod. And William Carey said, I can do that. I can prod. I can work with languages. And he ended up in his lifetime translating the Bible into 6 languages. In our Spanish class we have here in the church, we struggle sometimes at translating one sentence. He translated the Bible into 6 different languages, and he translated portions of the Bible into 29 other languages. I think we can get up and do a little bit of Bible study. I think we can spend time doing devotion. The book of Hebrews is teaching the people in that day and age to get ready. Get ready for what would come. For when the Romans would take over, then faith would be a crime. There would be persecution. And maybe Hebrews speaks to us. Be strong. Know our purpose and know the need for what we stand for. For society may shift and the society may be hostile. But the God of love teaches us to be ready, to be strong, for we need to be witnesses to a world that needs what? Faith, hope, and love. Amen.